live on Leila Rahimi and Marshall Harris with Mark Grumman, bringing you five topics on their minds today on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I got five on it. Number one.
This is 5 on, and we got breaking news, baby. According to Michael Cirami of Bleacher Nation, the Cubs are close to acquiring Marlins right-hander Edward Cabrera. How do you feel about this potential move by Jed Hoyer and company?
Starting pitching on a team for the career? Edward Cabrera, right-hander, throws, hear me out, a fastball over 90. Woo!
That's all it takes to get you excited.
Yes, on this
gets
team.
Gets me excited, man, on as a Cubs team. Fan.
You guys are ridiculous.
Are you kidding? What are you going to tell me next? That he throws like a mean changeup and maybe mixes in a curveball? Oh, wait, he does those things.
What?
Hot damn. We got us a thrower and an out-getter. What do you know? That's good news. But what makes this really compelling is we just had Bruce Levine on, and Bruce Levine has said this, and so did Bob Nightingale, that Owen Casey is likely part of the deal. That means it is the second generation of the Yu Darvish trade that is coming into play here, because Owen Casey was the one big get from that deal. Should have been more. That's another story for another day. So, additionally, that means we can't figure out who's supposed to be contributing on offense, because we all seem to think that Kyle Tucker is not part of this mix. And then Bruce drops the facts that he dropped the names. He dropped the names Kyle Tucker, Alex Bregman, and Cody Bellinger.
And then he didn't back off when I brought up Bo Bichette.
He did not back off. In a world where this could happen, do we think this could happen? Do we think they can't be? Please don't be.
You know
done.
What camp I'm in?
Please don't. All I've wanted is another bat.
Not just any bat, by the way, because they did get a bat already. I don't know if you remember.
Oh, yeah, first base. Okay. Hey, that was the Mark Grody interlude for a while, Tyler Austin.
I mean, look, you get help where you can get help. Maybe they're just slowly.
Grody would be like, but they got.
But look, this might not be
Tyler
the big move.
Austin.
This might not be the big move. Maybe they're just slowly building up. This is the next step, and then you get a bigger move, and then a biggest move. And if the biggest move is Cody Bellinger, Alex Bregman, Kyle Tucker, or Bo Bichette, sign me up for that.
Man, watching the Toronto Blue Jays make all those moves, they're like, oh, we got to the World Series. Oh, we got to Game 7. Oh, we're not done. No, we said we're not done. Oh, no, we're not done.
They might not still be done.
What an idea.
So my thoughts are this, Mr. Executive Producer Ray Diaz, asking all these questions from behind that protective glass that you sit behind. My thoughts are, the Cubs are actually alive, and I don't have to take out my long stick and poke them and say, do something, do something.
Why are you saying that after the last segment?
Well, I didn't even think about the last segment. The last segment is history. Why are you trying to make something out of it? How about that?
Hey, none of this, all of this could be avoided if they had just not sued each other or kept out of the, Ariana Grande kept out of putting Pete Davidson in the burn book.
My man just existed. What do you want him to do? He can't help how he was built anatomically.
Anatomically. Anatomically.
I was really about to say it.
Who doesn't make up words though?
Anatomically, he can't control how God made him.
Fair enough.
You know?
Sounds like that definitely happened.
One woman's trash is another woman's treasure, apparently, in this case. But listen.
I just feel for him. I feel for the whole situation.
He shouldn't be punished because he's a little girthy, you know?
The text messages on the text line have been top notch.
What you got? Give me one.
Nope,
give me one.
We cannot read them.
Oh, you can't read them? Is that bad?
And you know what? That's how I would like to describe this move.
Girthy.
Number two.
We're going to pivot to playoff football here.
What? Is that a thing?
That's right. We have playoff football in Chicago. Of the three phases of football, offense, defense, special teams, where would you say the Bears have an advantage over the Packers?
Well, I don't think it's going to be on defense. I know Kyler Gordon supposedly healthy. I know they're getting him back, and I think that that is very important and a major key, in the words of DJ Khaled, when it comes to trying to help out with the Bears conundrum that we will get into a little bit later on the show when it comes to man versus zone, which some would describe as a Sophie's choice if you've seen the past 2 weeks, and frankly, some of the games against the Packers. So given that situation, I think the edge has to go to the offense here. And I know that the Packers have had really good luck with spreading the ball around to many different receivers. If you're reminded of Bo Melton's success, for example, on the touchdown that was 45 yards. So I still think that the Bears have the edge when it comes to offense because they do have more weapons. And now that we know that other people are coming back like Roma Dunze, Caleb Williams did talk about it. So he's the one who said it. Just saying. I think that's going to change the shape of the offense. The Packers will have to commit more defensive resources to it. And I think that the advantage there goes to Los Osos.
The only place the Bears have an advantage is special teams. Because last I checked, it's really hard to recover an onside kick. And last I checked, you should be able to recover an onside kick coming your way. And the last time these teams met, that didn't happen. Here's why I say that's the only place the Bears have the advantage. I haven't seen the Bears defense stop the Packers in a successful way. I just have not seen it. I've seen a fumble on a do or die play on fourth down where they gave the ball to the Bears, and the Bears, of course, scored a game-winning walk-off touchdown. Thank you, DJ Moore.
But go, DJ.
That is your DJ. But I'll say this. Because of how bad the Bears defense is, the Packers have the advantage both on offense and defense. Now, maybe, and this wasn't in the question, maybe the Bears' offensive play calling could be an advantage over the Packers' offensive play calling. What I mean is, maybe Ben Johnson saw that Ravens-Packers tape and said, hey, that running thing that we do sometimes, and we look pretty good sometimes doing it when we're not making, what do you call them, mentals?
Yeah, I have mental errors.
Mental errors? Maybe if we do that against the Packers team that could not stop a 300-yard rushing attack from the Baltimore Ravens, we can win this game and salt it away. But as of right now, I think the Packers they have a better offense, and I think the Packers, they have a better defense. Neither team can get pressure on the quarterback, but as you've seen, that hasn't necessarily mattered. If we were doing this by College Football Committee metrics, which we're not, thankfully, there's this thing they do called game control. You've heard of it, right? How much time do you dominate a game? And if you look at the two previous matchups between the Packers and the Bears, can I say that the game control... Give me the music again if you want.
No.
The game control belonged sharply advantage Green Bay.
Yeah, and unfortunately that was the case last week. Time of possession was definitely in favor of the Lions.
Yeah.
Number three. I'm also just for kicks looking up Edward Cabrera's fastball velos lately.
You like him?
96, 97 work for anybody. Ooh, topping out at 99.2.
Works for me.
You had me at double digits.
Remember
K's
that time
per
the Cubs starters threw over 90?
Well, here's to like more velocity. Real
over, well, I shouldn't say that. Remember that time the Cubs starters threw over like 93? Woo!
Oh, here's to more velocity in 2026 for the Cubs. Love to hear that. Love to hear that. This is 5 on it on 670 The Score with Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris. Here is question number three. Which player do you consider to be the most valuable addition to the Bears roster of the 2025 season?
Oh, I got this one. Most valuable addition? It would be my team MVP. Do you remember who that was?
No, that's why I'm asking.
Joe Tooney. Mm. Period. Point blank. Subtract them off the Chiefs. Did you see them? Are you looking forward to their playoff? Oh, wait, they're not in the playoffs.
I mean, if you sign Joe Tooney or if you acquire Joe Tooney, it would appear that you will make a playoff.
Yes.
Success is at hand for you.
Yes, that's what they've done. Joe Tooney has been the heart and soul of that offensive line, working with young players, working with veteran players. Joe Tooney has them ready to go, and he's the reason why they have one of the best rushing attacks in the NFL. And do you know what Caleb Williams' final sack total was this season? 24. I want you to really like process that. Last time, this man said only David Carr has been sacked more in an NFL season than me, Caleb Williams.
His career ended before it began.
Now there are 23 other quarterbacks in the NFL who have been sacked more than Caleb Williams in the 2025 season. That is what we call a substantial, enlightening improvement. And it's one of the reasons why the Bears not only have 11 wins and are the NFC North champions and the two seed, but that Caleb Williams has been able to stand upright now through 34 games out of 34 opportunities to play a game as the starting quarterback in the NFL.
The third, or if how you look at it, second quarterback, most sacked quarterback in the league, because Geno Smith and Cam Ward tied.
Oh, and Drake May, right? Or
Justin Herbert.
Oh, Herbert. Oh, yeah.
How about that little spicy nugget?
Drake May was leading the league for half the season until he settled down.
That's right, and he ended up finishing fourth on this. But yeah, Herbert with 54 sacks. That's what makes that game against the Texans even more compelling when you consider that aspect of it as well. Now listen, they're not facing the Broncos, who, you know, far and away were the sack leaders of the league.
Yes.
And Myles Garrett individually was far and away the sack leader of the league, setting the record. But it is a spicy little nugget to add to the intrigue of that game, I think.
Something tells me you like your nuggets spicy.
Is there any other way?
Well, one, because the spicy nuggets, just like the regular nuggets, they contain no bones.
It's true. It's true. Wait, I didn't give my answer. Oh, what the heck? My answer was not about Justin Herbert.
Oh, what was
we have
answer?
Time. It's only 12-12.
It's okay. Go ahead. I was.
You know how excited I was about Drew Dalman. And I think there has been no better example of how crucial a center is in the quarterback improvement than in the past couple of years. And Drew Dalman was a Pro Bowler. Credit to him for making the Pro Bowl. He absolutely should. The Bears had to pay a lot for him too in free agency because he was the best center name coming out of free agency. Was with Atlanta. And I just think anytime there's even a mistake, right? Anytime there's an exchange mistake, whether it's center or quarterback, the default of just knowing and trusting him and giving him the benefit of the doubt has been so nice because you know something else must have happened or there must have been a reason for it or something. How many times he's gotten the ball off before that clock hit zero? How he prevents delay of game penalties on his own? There are so many reasons to appreciate Drew Dalman and the exchange and even Cadence now being a weapon for Caleb Williams. I feel like that helps. Having the center problems that the Bears have had the past couple of years, that's where I feel there's been such a calm and remarkable difference.
I haven't even thought about the center problems.
That's it. That's the point. I can't tell you how many times I'm like, this clock is going down to zero. Drew Dalman is there. Snap. Play ensues.
No worries.
That's it. It's just, and or think about some of the passing lanes even, not just the running lanes, but the passing lanes the offensive line has opened up for Caleb Williams to see his receiver better and make an unbelievable throw. So much of it, I think, really does center, pun intended, around the center.
I see what you did there.
So, Drew Dalman, I loved your narrow the aperture discussion when you said that as well. I'm a nerd, and I appreciate everything you bring to this metaphorical table that is Bears football. Okay. Sorry.
Number four.
According to ESPN's Adam Schefter, in the first 45 minutes after John Harbaugh was fired, his agent Brian Harlan said he received calls from 7 NFL teams expressing interest in his client. There are currently 7 NFL head coaching openings, including Baltimore's. So that's the tweet from Adam Schefter. That means a franchise that currently has a head coach reached out to Harbaugh's agent. Name the mystery team with the current head coach that inquired about John Harbaugh. What do you think?
Mystery team. This is so exciting. Mystery team is such a good tool used by agents, used by sports talk radio. We're like peanut butter and jelly. We just go together. Mystery team. Could the Cubs be a mystery team? Nah, the Cubs are usually pretty public about what they do. Like if you know the Cubs are interested in a player, they'll let you know. So, mystery team for me in this scenario, I think it's probably most logically and lamely Miami.
Why is it lamely Miami?
Because it's obvious.
It's not so obvious because I think it kind of seemed like, you know, why am I blanking on his name? Dolphins coach.
Mike McDaniel
kind of saved his job towards towards the end of the season there. He was in the hot seat for a while and seemed like his seat kind of cooled a bit. So I don't think it's such a lame answer at all.
Yeah, I feel like that has been a saga. And with them not having a GM for so long, too, you would think that maybe that's something where at some point Mike McDaniel's time, as every head coach's is, Mike McDaniel's time might be numbered given who the executive might be to come into that. So since that's the case, I just think it's Miami.
Yeah, because looking around, you'd have to find another place, in my opinion, without a GM for it to make sense. Or at least both the GM and the coach are on the hot seat. Because let's be honest, John Harbaugh is so hot right now that he can name his own front office guy. And the question becomes, it's kind of a Liam Cohen type situation, right? Because remember Liam Cohen? No, until you fire your GM, now it's a yes. And now look at Liam Cohen.
Yeah, Liam Cohen is laughing at us all. Fasazmat truly worked. I don't even remember what it stood for, but I'm pretty sure they're doing it.
They're doing something because the Jaguars are hot.
Was it like fundamentally sound? Was that part of it? I feel like it was.
Yeah, I'm not sure. But I will say this. If it's not the Dolphins, my next guess, the Bengals are too cheap. I think it is the Eagles.
Oh, my God.
I think it is the Eagles.
The Super Bowl champions.
Yeah. There's
this
history
there. This
is going to
bother Herb Lawrence because he hates it when people say defending champions because you're just the champions. But the defending champions.
I say the reigning champs usually because they're reigning. They're reigning right now.
I get it. And I know that people are very angry in Philadelphia about Nick Sirianni not playing his starters. But I also know that a lot of times people are very angry in Philadelphia.
But I think if you're
John, I liked it there.
If you're John Harbaugh, though, think about it.
Fit in.
He's a guy that you could be like, I think I trust Howie Roseman because he's the best GM in our freaking sport.
He is. He's the best GM in the game. But that doesn't mean you just go fire the head coach who's been to 2 Super Bowls in 5 years all willy-nilly.
Do you want to go to Super Bowls or do you want to win Super Bowls?
Well, they've done that too.
Okay. Do you have confidence that the Eagles should be the Super Bowl favorites this year?
Just because the Bears whoop the Eagles at home. And I really feel like a lot of the angst from Eagles fans is about that as well. Doesn't mean that they need to fire Nick Sirianni.
Jalen Hurts has never won a road playoff game.
Okay, that part as well. But they still win games.
Okay, all right. Craig Council situation.
Five on it. Number five.
It's 5 on it on 670 The Score with Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris. Today is January 7th. We're a week into the new year. On what day do you expect the gym to go back to normal?
All right. This is the time of year where I try everything in my power to just work out at home. Like at home. Not even necessarily my apartment gym. Because it's just going to be a chaotic mess. And I like to spend an hour on cardio machines at times. And you can't do that. They'll try to enforce that 30-minute limit on you anywhere you go. So I usually roll back into my normal gym pace somewhere around February 3rd.
So after the month of January, you think things are back to normal?
Not back to normal. I don't think they're really back to normal until like March. And for those of you who don't make it back to normal, who keep your resolutions, awesome.
You know what? You know how I feel about New Year's resolutions, first of all.
Yeah, I'm not as mad about them because anything to motivate people, I'm into it.
Well, you talk about motivation. I'm glad you said that because the answer for me is never. Because if I'm in the gym with you, you're coming back because I'm helping to motivate you.
You can't yell at people. Don't be the guy at the gym who just gives advice to people.
No, I don't give advice. I just like, yo, good job. I like that. Sure you don't want to put a little more weight on there? I think you can handle a little more weight.
See, yeah, no.
No. When I see, I only say that after I see them do whatever they're doing, what they're doing. I was like, oh, you could do more than that. And that helps them.
I avoid you at the gym.
I'm growing. Well, you would avoid me in a lot of places, gym being one of them. So.
We hang out together.
Sometimes. Listen.
We used to hang out more, and then we decided to spend several hours of our days every day together, and changed it.
I don't think that's it. I think I just spend several hours of my day working, period.
Yeah, you've done a lot of weekend work lately.
Yeah, so, no, but I think the answer is never. I'm going to keep you in the gym. You come to the gym with me, I'm going to keep you in the gym.
Don't be that guy giving unsolicited advice at the gym.
I'm not giving unsolicited advice. I'm trying to be an accountability buddy. How about that? Does that sound better?
Like if it's your friend or something, if it's you and Clay yelling at each other about how much weight you can move, then that's funny and entertaining.
If I meet you in the gym, we're immediately friends. That's just how it's going to go.
But if I'm like taking a longer class on the Peloton or something.
People love working out with me.
I don't want to be told to get off the Peloton. So you know what I do instead? And this is a flex and I get it. I use my Peloton.
Okay. All right. All right. Somebody's wealthy. We get it.
No, I got it during the pandemic and it kept me sane and I just kept doing it.
I don't track
all my workouts with it because sometimes I do, you know, like a lot of times I'll do non-Peloton workouts. But yeah, I still have my Peloton at home, especially in January. The end. Coming up next here on Rahimi Harrison Grody. Hey, we have some Bears talk that we would like to present to you because this has been an insanely busy day. Matt Bowen was on with the afternoon show, and it was it wasn't just sexy football. It was, I want to run through a wall and go hit somebody football. Matt Bowen broke down the problem in the Bears secondary that they're going to have on Saturday and what the best solutions are. And I think it's worth us all listening to it and running through and busting through the paper, you know?
It is what it is. I tried to tell y'all yesterday, and Matt Bowen's going to tell you more of the same.
No, he's not. That's not what it is at all. Listen for yourself next. We're talking to play-by-play man Kevin Harlan. You're the best when it comes to play-by-play of life.
We're sending Marshall Harris to D.C. to run on the field.
Come on, Marshall. Bring it home, baby. We're ready for you.
The Rahimi Harrison Grody Show, middays 10 to 2 on 670 The Score.
Can I tell you how much I enjoy Kevin Harlan saying, come on, Marshall, to try to get you to run onto a football field? It's still one of my favorite things.
Kevin Harlan would be quite the hype man, if you think about it. Quite the wingman. Come on, Marshall. And then we ride. We ride off into the sunset.
It's fantastic. So, that said, this is Rahimi Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. And as busy as the day has been, we haven't really gotten to dig deeper into Bears and Packers today. We gave you a lot of the latest from Hallis Hall earlier yesterday. We do have Chris Emma with a live report at 125 today. We're going to talk a lot with Danny Parkins coming up at 1. But in the meantime, it is frankly a problem that I would probably procrastinate on and avoid if it wasn't staring me in the face. And that is the conundrum, even with Kyler Gordon's practice window now being open, trying to figure out who are the best choices on this Bears secondary to face the Packers when the Packers, as we've seen the past two meetings, have been able to pick apart the Bears zone fairly well. And we saw what the Lions did in man. We also saw what happened against San Francisco. And this, I think, is going to be the X factor in the game for the Bears. Unfortunately, the weakness and the injuries are going to make this the most glaring part of the game that I'm going to focus in on.
You're familiar with the old school standardized test, the Scantron. Be A, B, C, D, all of the above.
Mm-hmm.
On this one, I'm like, why didn't you include the E? None of the above. Because that's what it's looking like right now with the Bears secondary, to be honest with you.
You mean like who your best choices are?
Yeah. I'm looking for the E, but the E is not an option.
And I think it tells a lot when we're talking about the availability, and credit to him for being such a crucial part of the team. But it says a lot when we're talking about the availability of CeeDee Gardner-Johnson, who's likely going to be out because he's in concussion protocol. I'm just, me personally, this is not a report. We'll learn more today, but I have, you know, I'm not expecting him to be there if I'm watching and trying to plan for this game. And he's been a big part of this. He's two different players almost in man versus zone. And unfortunately, we've seen that play out as well. There's one guy we have who is an expert when it comes to secondary play, and that is Matt Bowen, who was on with the afternoon show yesterday. And he broke down why these two choices, neither one of them may be ideal.
A lot of those throws, two speeds, were rhythm throws, right? Inbreakers, crossers, over routes. That's where Goff is at his best, especially when he has a clean platform to throw the football from. Bears are not generating enough pressure. And when you play man coverage and you don't hit the quarterback, you better be really good in the secondary. And the Bears were not. Played heavy outside leverage versus a lot of in-breaking routes. And I'll tell you right now, against Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jameson Williams, Raymond, if you allow immediate separation at the line of scrimmage, you're not going to get back in phase. That means back to the hip of the defense, you know, of the wide receiver, we can make a play on the football. Then it turns into a foot race. And what the wide receiver does is simply run away from coverage. So why do they play so much man speaks? Because against zone coverage, he was 10 of 12 for 103 yards. So, but I'll tell you, you know, this is why I say that speaks. Because zone coverage against a team like Detroit heavy play action, similar to playing against Ben Johnson. There are windows to attack at the second level and the third level if you can create the coverage voids. They're excellent at that. So if you're a defensive coordinator saying, we're not going to give them those open window throws to the middle field, we're going to challenge them. But again, going back to my original point, to do that, you have to hit the quarterback, you have to make a player like Jared Goff move off his throwing platform, and you have to play much tighter coverage.
This begs the question, Layla.
So they were good in zone and also good in man.
Do you,
well, crap.
Do you, when you look at the track record of the Bears' defensive line, the front four, bring out the meter, the confidence meter, 0 to 10, what is your level of confidence that the front four can affect the quarterback Saturday night?
Rushing four down linemen?
Yes.
3.
I'm surprised it's that high, to be honest. Jordan Love was picking them apart in Green Bay.
And that was against blitz look mostly. Or they'd show blitz.
And it didn't matter because he sees the mismatches at the line of scrimmage. Christian Watson, and you go on down the line from the word that will trigger our friend Mark Grody, Bo Melton. If you say that name, I'm going to say that like 5 times on Friday.
Because inevitably it's always some dude on the Packers who just has the best day ever.
And so I think Dennis Allen has his work cut out for him to minimize, and that's why it's okay to be a bend-don't-break defense. If you can hold them to field goals instead of... And I'm not saying they're going to hold them to 0-for-5 in the red zone or the deep red zone. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but if they can get something closer to what we saw last week in the loss to the Lions as opposed to what we saw the week before against the Niners, because you're probably not going to get what you got down here at Soldier Field the last time you saw the Packers. But if you get somewhere in between, and now Caleb Williams, it's always been on him. It's still going to be on him. Make your throws. Hit your guys. Don't go 3 and out. Then you've got a chance to win the game. And honestly, if Caleb Williams just does like the best of Caleb Williams, not for the second half, but 4 quarters, they should roll over the Packers because they'll get a lead and run the football. They can't stop the run. The Packers can't stop the runs.
Well, and if the Bears want to run the ball more than we've seen them run, that would be great. But in the meantime, we still have to figure out what is the realistic capability of the secondary. We're starting to get reports in now from Hallis Hall, by the way.
What we got?
And Ben Johnson was asked about Kyler Gordon, and he said he is going to be part of the game plan. That was per Courtney Cronin. Can you even rely on him?
You have to, because it is pull out all the stops, all hands on deck. It's a playoff game. You know what I don't want to happen? We've seen it happen 2 times in a row, and Kyler Gordon was one of the people that it happened to have already turned in your inactives and now be a man down on your game day roster because something happened in pregame warmups, like what happened with him and then Rome Odunze the following week.
Yeah, that's terrifying. But when it comes to how they try to plan this out, and knowing what we've seen out of, for example, Jalen Johnson, who has not been the guy we know him to be physically. He doesn't look as fast. He's not closing in as much. We're not the only ones. Matt Bowen was asked by Lawrence Holmes about what he's seen out of Jalen Johnson since he's come back from his injury.
I think you have to challenge him, Lawrence. I think you have to be more physical, to your point. I think that's where he's at his best. If you were to ask someone, what is Jalen Johnson, I would say he's a physical coverage corner. That means he can excel in press. That means he's physical at the top of the break. That gives him an advantage because that's a physical play style he brings to the football field on Sunday. So I would be more physical in press coverage with Jalen this week. But you know what we're getting to right here. And I think this has been an issue for weeks and weeks with the Chicago defense. Who was playing in the slot on Saturday night? It was, and CJ has really struggled in man coverage. He really has. You know, that has been part of this defense has been exposed with Kyler Gordon out is the slot targets, and especially the man coverage slot targets and getting beat on crossers and over routes that turn into explosive plays. And that's one thing you have to take away against Green Bay. Because I'll tell you what, if I'm Matt LaFleur, the first third down, when I get the Bears in man coverage, I'm throwing a deep over or a deep crosser to Christian Watson or Matthew Golden out of the slot. I'm going to say, show me you can cover this. Because if you can't, I'm going to do it all night.
He's not wrong.
How can you fault his approach based on what you know about the Bears' defense?
He's not wrong. If you saw the way the Bears were running and frankly huffing and puffing across the field, against the Lions doing those routes, especially across. I don't know why you can't expect to see that in mass on Saturday night.
That's why it's imperative they get some stops early, but more importantly, they get some points early.
Do you think it is to the point where the Bears' best defense is their offense?
Yes. It's been that way for a while now.
Not when they were generating more turnovers, and they even had one in the most recent game. They just couldn't capitalize on it.
But that's the point, Layla. Against the good teams, they don't generate the same number of turnovers because the quarterback play is so much better. Remember, in the games that they lost this season, or even against the teams with the winning records that they played this season, they had a total of, what, 6 turnovers? Total. And then all the other turnovers came against bad teams. Like, we're talking about 4 turnovers in game, 3 turnovers in game. Whether it's Dak or whatever dysfunctional team they ran through on the way to their last play schedule. And they took advantage. They did. They took advantage of Joe Burrow not being there for the Bengals. They took advantage of knocking Jackson Dart out of the game.
Joe Flacco nearly beat you.
Yes. But Joe Flacco also turned the ball over. And so what I'm saying is, not that Jordan Love can't be had, because he can be had.
But not as well if you can't create pass rush up front.
Do you remember Ben Johnson's answer about Tyrique Stevenson not getting any defensive snaps the last time out? And how he said, we felt with Jalen Johnson and Nashawn Wright, we were good. Shawnee, as he called him. And here's the truth. None of them are at a high level right now in coverage. But at least with Nashawn Wright over Tyrique Stevenson, he gives you a chance to actually take the ball away.
Also, I want to clarify, it was Dennis Allen, because the coordinators are speaking today at Hallis. Oh, okay. Everything's moved up a day. And the quote from Dennis Allen on Kyler Gordon is, our plan is to have him be a part of it, the game plan against Green Bay.
You better have a really good plan B, and maybe even a plan C.
I use the term closeouts all the time because it makes the most sense, even though it's a basketball term. Who's closing out for you that you trust in the secondary?
Kevin Byard, the last line of defense.
Jaquan Brisker. Jaquan Brisker is really good at running across the field and giving help when he has to. But usually if it's gotten to him at a few points in the game based on the formation, the play has already been taken for many yards.
It's already too late.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes. But that's the problem here, is that I feel like if these are your options, if people are able to cook in both man and in zone pretty easily, you're going to have to pick which one you trust more.
Here's the option.
And it might be based on how fast you think your personnel is.
I haven't answered that question, not fast enough. But that's why the number one option on defense is to put up 30-plus on offense. That's the number one option.
414 says, my grandpa could have sat back there and threw those passes with all the time Love had, and my grandpa is dead.
Wow. That's dark. But accurate, probably. In a hyperbolic
way. That's what makes this so frustrating, is you thought based on the money you spent that you could probably rush four and create the pressure you need.
Dio's not healthy. Shamar's out. The rookie that you got, Turner. They have, I mean, everybody's hurt this time of year. It's like, how can you overcome your injuries?
Except for maybe Grady Jarrett, who was hurt at the beginning of the season, but you can see is affecting the pocket more and more, it seems like, each game.
I'm going to need about 4 pressure/deflected balls out of Austin Booker this weekend. How about that?
I mean, that was it. That was a big part of the stops that the Bears had for the Lions, too. They were able to bat down passes at the line of scrimmage. Jervon Dexter should help with that at 6'6".
Also, if Matt LaFleur wants to draw up an ill-advised trick play, go ahead, big guy.
He doesn't draw many of them. It would seem like a pretty traditional offensive game plan, if you ask me.
Matt LaFleur, coaching for his job.
Oh, I don't think it's that severe.
I do! Okay.
Or, theoretically, every coach is coaching for his job every Sunday.
Ben Johnson's not.
No. But I do believe in the Bum Phillips race. Two types of coaches. Coaches who were fired and coaches who are going to be. It's just a matter of how long the hourglass goes. Coming up next here on 670 The Score, Raheem Harris and Grody. Mark Grody got to talk to Cole Kmet as part of the Take the North podcast last night. Cole was kind enough to come on as a guest. And there's a word that has been permeating throughout the Bears locker room this week. Cole will tell us why next.
Raheem Harris and Grody, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The Score.
This time they'll fake it. Williams looking.
That is courtesy of Fox Sports. That was the two-point conversion where Cole Kmet was supposed to block, fell down, then decided to run into the end zone and took a nice helmet shot as he caught the two-point conversion. Glad they called that guy.
Sounds good to though this week like that. No worse for wear.
Doesn't seem like it. This is Raheem Harris and Grody on 670 The Score. And Cole Kmet was also kind enough to join the Take the North podcast that was live last night from 6 to 8 right here on the station, and we have decided that Breaking News will now be sponsored by the Take the North podcast until further notice. Are we cool with that?
We need a slappy, like a slappy, snappy slogan. I said snappy because I thought of Patrick Manley, and that's how your boy Grody refers to Patrick Manley.
You guys want to upset Manley? That's your choice.
Not me. It's a Grody decision.
We'll figure it out. Okay. I'll write something catchy.
Yeah, we need something.
And in the meantime, the Take the North podcast was a really good episode. Cole was on it. And Dan Wiederer asked him a question about a word that has been permeating throughout the Bears locker room. Take a listen.
It comes down to your demeanor as to how you do things. And, you know, Ben had mentioned it today in our meeting before our walkthrough. And, you know, look, we're on a shorter week, so it's hard to have a day where you're going, you know, full pads on a, you know, we would call this our Wednesday today, even though it's a Tuesday. And, you know, the intent of the walkthrough has to heighten. So whether, you know, while you're out there, sure, we're in tennis shoes, whatever you might be in. But, you know, your first two steps got to be with some good demeanor and good intent. So, like, you know, there's that word showing up. And, you know, doing that helps you play fast when it comes to Saturday or Sunday. And, you know, we know that every little thing we do, whether it's how our etiquette is in the meetings or how we are on the walkthrough and then how we'll be on the practice field here later in the week, it's all going to matter, and it all matters a lot, especially here going forward. So every little detail is just heightened during these times, and we know that in these big games, and we've played in a few of them here these past few weeks. But, yeah, that word intent has definitely been thrown around, but it's been something that I think everyone in the locker room has really embodied.
Intent being the word of the week. And there's another quote from Ben Johnson where he said, "We're mentally prepared to play for 5 more weeks. That's our intent." How do you do that? You go out there and you win the first one.
Intent, of course, the root word of the longer word, because that's how root words work, intentional. And we talk all the time about, are they being intentional in their actions and their words? They match what they're saying with action. And I think that is what is being hammered home by this entire coaching staff and permeating through not just the locker room, but the organization. We're here. You work so hard. Remember when Ben Johnson told us at the introductory press conference, can we make the playoffs this year? Yeah, it depends on how much we're willing to work and how much we're willing to sacrifice. Well, the work has been done. The sacrifices have been made. And now you're in a bubble with 13 other teams who have done the same to get to this point, a minority of the totality of the National Football League. And now you need to be more intentional than your opponent on Saturday night against the Packers.
Well, and I think it's also about just staying present. And it makes sense that that's the word when Ben Johnson said that there were 6 mental mistakes out of 11 plays to start the game. And if that's the case, is that playing with intention? Is that playing focused? Are you staying focused in those moments? The answer would be no. And that's probably why the head coach was so upset. I've simplified it to you need to run the ball more, especially against the Packers, especially to start. And maybe you wouldn't have a first drive go 8 plays and out like we saw last week, or have struggles like they had had in early drives against the Packers in the past this season. But run the ball isn't the same as intent. You still have to play assignment-based football. You still have to focus each and every play. But there's something about, I don't know if it was the energy level. I don't know if it was the fact that they had already made the playoffs at that point. I don't know if they thought the Lions were just going to lie down. But I don't necessarily know that playing with intention was the name of the game on Sunday. So it makes sense as to why that's something where you have to rein it in a little bit, especially with a lot of the team never having played in the playoffs before. And B, or if you do, it's one game like Cole Kmet in 2020. And you have the chance to put this together in a much more focused way in a short week, too.
Well, specifically to the haven't been there, done that. Or if you've done it, you've done it once, maybe twice. Or it's just been a long time. Like a Kevin Byard situation. You have a lot of guys. Montez Sweat's played in one playoff game in his whole career. Right? And you got to go back to 5 years for him, too. And I think that's what's going on with a lot of these guys is the one thing about having been in the league a while and not being like Cole Kmet was his first time in the playoffs, a rookie, is you do realize this is not a given. You don't know if this is going to happen next year. See Washington Commanders. So just because you...
Detroit Lions.
Well, but at least Detroit's been there...
Back-to-back years.
Yeah. So I think that's why this is so... I think it's going to be one of the easier things for the Bears to do is focus on this moment as opposed to guys who do it all the time. And maybe with a guy like Joe Tooney, you've got the experience in there that can explain this is how things do ratchet up. Although when Kevin Byard was talking about, he talked about what's the difference between the regular, he kind of equated to in the preseason, it's one way, then the regular season, it amps up. In the postseason, it's another level of amping up. I think the mental focus will be at a different level than what we saw on Sunday.
I mean, absolutely. It has to be. If it's not, they're going to lose the game. With the way he was so upset about the offense and how it performed, especially early, knowing that you did give all the time in the world back to Detroit to do whatever they wanted in the first half, and that is a pattern, you've got to play with more intent and more focus and more intention. You have to.
I like that they believe that even if they're down, they can win the game. That comes from the six comebacks in the last 2 minutes that led the league. Caleb Williams doing the things that he's done. But at the same time, as we talked about right after the game, that Detroit game should be a wake-up call. I think it will be a wake-up call. And if they come out in the first quarter, I mean, you know how we're going to act. We're in a group thread. We talk every time there's a Bears game. And if they come out flat in this one, it's not even a rolling of the eye. I was like, well, you had a chance and you're blowing it. You're blowing it.
Well, that's it. And I don't agree. I think the Bears should defer if they win the toss. 615 just said, please, for the love of God, don't defer if the Bears win the toss. Punch them in the throat with points on the first drive. It's just good practice in the NFL. But your point stands. Punch them in the throat with points on the first drive would be a nice change of pace.
Also, DeMarco, you don't have to crowd surf off the kickoff. You don't have to do that, Mr. Jackson.
Oh. Well, it seemed fun at the time, or at least it looked like it could be fun.
Could have been fun. It was not.
No. Tonight, the Bulls are in Detroit to take on the Pistons. Pre-game coverage begins at 5:45. Tip-off is at 6 on the Score and the Fitzgerald Equipment Bulls Radio Network, powered by Helly Forklifts. And coming up next, we were warned by one Danny Parkins about our segment coming up. Pleasantly warned. So now we got to see what's in store. Danny's next.